A very important thing that lifters need to always keep in the back of their mind, if you're going to want to be competing and be able to continue to improve in your competition and continue to get better and better, is you need to try and emulate your training scenario and situation like competition as much as possible. Why is this? Let's just go through real quickly and explain why this is so important. You see, your body, your brain, psychologically, when it's in a place, a position, an environment that is not so familiar to it, you automatically, this is not under your control, you automatically start to have a fight or flight response, a stress response to that particular situation, to that particular environment that you're in. Now, what happens is, if you continue to have more and more situations and things happening in that environment, in that place you're in, the more and more of a stress response you get. So the more and more of a fight or flight response you get. You may be thinking, well, what's the big deal? What's the problem with that? I kind of want that anyway. I want adrenaline in my system because it helps me lift. Yeah, for short bouts of activity or things where it requires a lot of power immediately, possibly, especially when you're relating to things where survival is at stake. But a competition, such as a powerlifting competition, goes for hours. Now, the reason why this is important and the reason why this has implications on your performance is because when you have a stress response, what happens is the body starts to release hormones. Let's just even make it more simpler than that. Your body starts to do things, let's just go with that. The body starts to do things that start to drain you, sap you of more and more and more energy, because it has to call upon that energy to deal with its fight or flight response. Because you either got to fuel yourself, the body has to fuel itself for fighting or for running away. But when you're not actually using that energy, it's going to waste. Because you don't need to use that energy. If you're having some bad thought patterns, for example, in the warm up for squats, that starts to sap you of energy. I know this sounds like, oh my God, this is so minuscule, you're splitting hairs right now. I'm not, because one instance in of itself isolated is nothing. But what happens is the more and more things you have during competition that you're not used to, the more and more that leaking tap gets turned on. So that leaking tap is your energy getting drained through the day, through that competition period. And a powerlifting competition period goes for hours. It's not like a 15 minute ordeal where you can deal with it later and just go all out for those 15 minutes. You know, so if you were in something like a 100-meter sprint, well, it wouldn't be as much of a big deal, right? Because if anything, it's good to be sort of stressed like that, have that stress response, have maximum adrenaline pumping, because you're about to just get on the blocks, start and go. It's 100 meters, 10 seconds of effort, and you're done. But with a powerlifting competition, you've got 3 squats, then you got a bit of a rest, then you got 3 dead bench press, then rest, then 3 deadlifts. A lot of times, by the time people get to the deadlift, they're completely fried and they can't figure out why. This is part of the reason why. It's not just other things like, you know, not fueling up enough through the day, although that is a factor. This is part of the reason why. Every little thing in competition that you are not used to, that you haven't been training like in your training, in the lead up to that competition, is going to be unfamiliar to you. The more things that are unfamiliar to you when you get to the competition, especially if you're somebody who is naturally a stress head, who naturally is not comfortable with competing, the more that's going to have an effect on your long-term energy for that competition. And the more it's going to sap your energy for bench press, and more in particular, the deadlift, and even the squat, depending on how you deal with things, you know? So anything that you can control within your training to emulate competition, it's in your best interest to do. Even as far as when you're getting under the bar to go for your top set on the squat, you have to, or I do, for example, and I recommend a lot of our athletes do, when you're getting under the bar, you have to imagine in your head, in front of you is a crowd watching you right now. You have to imagine in front of you and to the side of you are referees sitting down. You have to imagine the start command. All of that is going to be step by step in your mind at all times. Your rest periods between your sets in training. If you're doing a set and then you're off talking to your friends for another 15 minutes, really calm, really chill, but that's not how you are in competition, that's going to affect you. First of all, because the rest between your attempts in competition is not going to be 15 minutes. If you're in a fast-paced competition, it can be much faster than that. It can be 6-7 minutes, sometimes even faster, depending on the length of your flight. Your warm-up periods, for example, between bench and deadlift, can oftentimes in competition be very short. If you're taking your sweet time after you finish your bench in training, for example, and now you have to do some deadlifts, if you're taking your sweet time warming up for deadlifts, well, you're not practicing exactly how the competition is going to be. You're going to have problems. Because all of a sudden, people are going to come in, organizers, and they're going to say, everybody, you've got 20 minutes to warm up for your top set deadlift, let's go. And it's a bit of a shock for you because normally you take 40 minutes. You take your time between your warm-up sets and so on. So over time, I learned this myself the hard way. And as I started to make my training as much like my competition, my worst case scenario in competition as much as possible, the better and better my results in competition got. Even so far as I'm purposely not doing things that feel comfortable for me, even though I could easily do it and it's no problem, I could even do it in competition. For example, everybody likes to have their favorite track maybe for their top set of their squat or bench or deadlift or whatever. Oftentimes, as you're listening to your music and the music is rolling track after track, you may be going for your top set, but that track is not something that you like, so you stop and naturally change the track. I oftentimes deliberately will not change the track. If it's a song that I don't like, I will leave it there and get comfortable being uncomfortable. All of these things may seem very small, very little, I understand that, but they all add up. Every little bit, every little detail that you're uncomfortable with is very likely to occur in competition. And that's when you want it to affect you the very least, as least as possible. If you go to the gym and your favorite barbell is taken, just go with another barbell. Don't wait for your favorite barbell to free up. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. Expose yourself to situations and scenarios that is not in your comfort zone, that is not your ideal. And then once you start to see that you perform anyway in training under those circumstances, under those situations and scenarios, you start to develop a lot of confidence in yourself in competition. When you get rushed for your warm-up, it's all good. When you get rushed for your next attempt, it's all good. When there are people around you, it's all good. When your favorite track's not coming up and you've got to find it before you go for your next attempt, it's all good. Sometimes even, you try to psych up in competition, but you're not quite there. You can't get psyched. If in training you practice to pull your heavy weights, your top sets, without getting overpsyched, it still doesn't bother you in competition. This is something I used to personally face a lot, where in training, I used to get myself mentally aroused a lot more, get myself psyched up for my top sets. But I'd find sometimes in competition, for whatever reason, because you just have those days, I couldn't really get psyched up, and it used to bother me because I used to think, well, this weight I used to do in my training, but I used to get psyched up and used to feel really good. Now I can't get psyched, how am I gonna do this weight? Over time, I completely changed that. I hit my top sets, sometimes without music, sometimes directly after having a casual conversation with somebody and then going and doing it. And then I learned that it doesn't matter what scenario or situation I get given, I know I'm capable of doing this lift. I hope that helps out, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.